Good evening. Before we begin, I'd like to say it's always a pleasure coming before you to preach God's word. It's never been a burden, and it's always been a pleasure because I love you all, and I hope you know that. Our passage for this evening comes from Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, which can be found in your Black Pew Bible on page 978. Now, before our passage today, Paul has instructed us to walk in a new life, a way that is pleasing to God. He instructs us to take off the old man and to put on the new man who is in Christ. And after this passage today, he gives examples of how to imitate Christ in this love and how to imitate Christ in this new walk. But our passage today is the pinnacle of this instruction. Paul gives us the reason for walking in this new way. We are to walk in this newness of life because it imitates the love of God, which God has given to us and for us. So let us now read the word of our Father in heaven. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Let's look to our Lord in prayer. Lord, you are our Father, and you have deeply loved us with a steadfast, eternal love which has been shown to us on the cross. Lord, but you call us to imitate this love, to grow in this love, to walk in this love as you teach us and instruct us, to have the same conduct that you have, to have the same aim in life as you have, to glorify you in all that we say and do. So, Lord, I ask that you shine upon this passage through your Holy Spirit, illuminate this passage, make known to us your words to this passage, that we may learn from you, that we may sit under your teaching, that we may remember your love, so that we can go out and love all those around us as you have loved us. Lord, be with us this evening. May this sermon be an offering of love to you and to your people. Lord, feed your people through these words. May they not be my words, Lord, but may they be your words. I ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. In your name, Lord. Amen. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He's a chip off the old block. You have your mother's eyes. You look just like your father. You've heard these things, and maybe you've had a similar experience as me where I've picked up the phone and the person on the other side has said, "Is this Patrice?" And I've responded and said, "No, this is her son, Jacob." You've heard these things, and you've had these kinds of experiences where, and you know what they mean. They mean that there's something about you, something in the way that you act, something in the way that you looked, something in the way that you speak, that reminds people of your parents. Something in you, something about you, reminds you of the character of your parents, reflects the character of your parents. Now, as Christians, we're called to imitate God. We're called to imitate God, our Heavenly Father. Now, here's the question. How does one imitate God? How do we imitate God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth? How do we imitate God? How do we look like God? How do we reflect his character? During one winter break, I was sitting with my parents, and we were having a drink. My mom got up to get more to drink, and she asked if I wanted more to drink. And in response, I tapped my glass, and I said, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good with what I have. And she looked at me, and she said, "You look just like your grandfather." Now, my grandfather was 5'10". He was of Irish descent, and you can just look at me and understand that I am not 5'10". I am not of Irish descent. I cannot possibly physically be of Irish descent. So what did my mom mean? She meant that there was something about me, something in the way that I sat, something in the way that I acted, something in the way that I spoke that reflected the character of my grandfather. In Ephesians, Paul's exhorting us to imitate God. He's exhorting us to imitate the character of God, which is love. For God is love. And we are to walk in the love which he has shown us. What Paul is instructing us to do is to remember God's character and remember God's love for us. And in remembering his love for us, we are to act out his love to others, towards others. So how do we imitate God? We do this first by remembering God's love for us. Then we do this by putting away our sin. And we do this by acting in the love God has shown us. So to walk in love, we must first remember God's love. Paul says this in Ephesians 4:23. He says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, create after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Again, we're to remember God's love for us. The Bible can best be described as a love letter. It is a love letter from God to his people, because God always acts out of his love. Everything he does from Genesis to Revelation, God does because he loves us, because he loves us, his people. And his love is most clearly seen in the cross. God's love for us is profoundly described in these words: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And Paul reminds us of this love. He reminds us of this love in Ephesians 5:2, where he says, "And walk in love as Christ loved you and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Again, remember that God's love for us is best demonstrated in the life and death of Christ Jesus. "For on the cross, Christ again put to death your sin, all of your sin, so that you can now be with God. So now that you can now dwell with God. So now you can truly be called his child. You can truly call him. You can truly call God your Father." You have to remember that he loves you. He loves you despite your sin. Remember that what Christ did for you was he removed all your sins from you and he put his holiness onto you, making you worthy of salvation in the eyes of the Father. Paul says this in Ephesians 4:19-24. He says, "They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Christ, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." And this leads us to our next point, dealing with sin. So we're called to remember God's love for us, but we're also called to deal with our sin. Remember, Christ has clothed us in his holiness, and we're called to remain in his holiness, to pursue his holiness. Let me ask you this. If you have new clothes, why would you put on old clothes? Why would you put on old clothes which are torn and faded and stained when you have new clothes which are untorn, unfaded, and unstained? Likewise, why would you continue in your sinful nature, your old sinful character, a nature which is selfish and mean and harms those around you, a sinful nature that cannot love God, a sinful nature that grieves the heart of your Father because sin goes against God. It is against God. Why would you remain in your old clothing, your sin, when you now have, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, a new nature, a new character, which is in Christ, a nature that can now imitate Christ and his love? You now have a new nature through the Holy Spirit that can love God as he loves you. A nature that can love others as God has loved you. So you have to take off the old self. You have to take off your sin and put on the new nature, walking in love as God has loved you. Remember, as Christians, you still deal with sin. You still struggle with sin. Sin is not yet gone from you. You still have the old sinful nature which is through Adam. You still struggle with sin and you still need to deal with it daily. The good news is that through the Holy Spirit, God has caused a change within you. He has given you, again, a new nature. And this gift should result in you setting aside the old desires, the old sinful desires of your old self, and the putting on of your new desires, which are in Christ. Christ is the new man, and you're to walk in obedience and in love as Christ did. Remember, Christ is our Savior, and He's also our example. He's our example of how to live an obedient life towards God the Father, how to love God and our neighbor and our church as God has loved us. Let me ask you this. Is this daily removing of sin, is this daily pursuit of loving your neighbor and loving God more than your sin, is this pursuit often discouraging to you? Are you aware of your failures to do this, to remove your sin and not to dwell on your sin? Maybe there's a particular sin which you struggle with. And the failure to remove the sin burdens you. And so let me remind you that this transformation, this changing, becoming holy as God is holy, this sanctification is a lifelong process. It doesn't happen instantly. It's not supposed to happen instantly. But also remember that this process is set in the foundation of Christ and guided by the Holy Spirit. Because of this, because it's set on Christ's firm foundation, because it is guided by the Holy Spirit, it cannot be stopped and it cannot be undone. Think of the process of sanctification like this. It's like looking in a mirror one day, and then a couple months later, you look in that same mirror, and you notice that something has changed about you. Maybe you've added a freckle. Maybe your face seems a little bit more chiseled. Maybe you've added a gray hair. Maybe your eyes are further apart. There's something physically changed about you. Sanctification is like this. Instead of an instant change, it is a gradual change as you daily walk with God. It is being faced with a sin or sins over and over again and noticing little changes in how you interact with this sin. Maybe when you face sin, you are more hesitant to engage in it. You're slower to speak out in anger. You hesitate more before you look or watch at something on the internet. Maybe you have a desire to listen to the new Kanye and not the old Kanye. All of your actions begin to change as you grow in faith. As you walk with God daily, you learn to love Him more. And you learn to trust Him a little bit more and more each day. And you begin to think of Him more often. And this affects your actions. Again, this is a process. And again, you're not to be discouraged when you fail. Because it is a process. It does take a while. It's a lifelong process. But again, remember that it's done through the Holy Spirit. A good example of this growth is Abraham. A good Old Testament example of this is Abraham. Remember, earlier in Genesis, to save his own skin, Abraham lies about Sarah. He says that Sarah is his sister and not his wife, so that he's not killed by Pharaoh. Or you may remember that God did promise to Abraham that he'd be a father of many nations, yet Sarah remained barren. So what does Abraham do? He tries to have a child with his servant Hagar. He tries to take the promise into his own hands. And both these events demonstrate a lack of faith in God, a lack of love in God. However, many years later, another event happens. Abraham is told to sacrifice his son Isaac, his only son, and he goes to do it. He does not doubt God. Instead, he obeys. Abraham demonstrates great faith here. The writer of Hebrews writes about Abraham's faith. In Hebrews 11:17-19, Abraham is described by this: by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. So again, Abraham demonstrates great faith. What happens to Abraham? What changes in Abraham over these years? What happened was he had seen God's faithfulness to him time and time again. He came to know and understand the love of God, and he came to understand how much God loved him. And this increased his faith. Likewise, you are growing. As you study the scriptures, as you meet God in prayer, as you seek to obey Him and engage with Him, you see God be faithful to you time and time again, and your faith is increased by the Holy Spirit. as children, you may have received something called hand-me-downs, right? From family or friends where after they've grown out of their own clothes, their old clothes, or they don't want them anymore, they give them to you, right? Sometimes these clothes are a little big. Sometimes these clothes are a little baggy. But your parents will always say the same thing. You'll grow into them. You'll grow into them. Likewise, what Jesus has done to you is that he has given you his holiness. He has handed down to you his holiness and clothed us in his holiness. And we are growing into his holiness. Paul says this early in Ephesians 4:15. He says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him, who is the head, into Christ. Again, we are to grow. We grow as we learn about God's love for us and as we remind ourselves of God's love for us. Now, we're to love because God is holy. We are to love because God is holy. We're to be as holy as God is holy. Holiness is loving the thing God loves and hating the things which God hates. Let me repeat that. Holiness is loving the thing God loves and hating the things which God hates. Remember this, God does not approve of sin. He hates it. But he loves us despite our sin. Likewise, we are to love others despite their sin. We are to hate sin, but we are to love others despite their sin, just as God has loved us. You are Christ's disciples, right? The biblical concept of discipleship is this, that the disciple is to imitate his rabbi. The student is to imitate his teacher. What the disciple did is he ate like the rabbi, he studied like the rabbi, he prayed like the rabbi, he taught the rabbi's teachings, and he lived like the rabbi. Paul says this to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy, or as some may say, 2 Timothy. For you have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life. Similarly, we are to follow Christ's teaching, Christ's conduct, and Christ's aim in life. And what Christ's aim in life was to love the Father with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love his neighbor as himself, and to love his church. So we must strive to love God, to love our neighbor, and to love our church. We are to love as God has loved us. We are to imitate Christ's love, God's love for us. And this brings us to our final point. How are we to love? Let me ask you this. How well do you love God? Do you engage with him daily? Do you devote yourself to him through prayer and the reading of Scripture? You've got to remember, again, God loves you. He wants you to dwell with him. This is why he's given us the gifts of prayer and given us the gifts of his word, so that we can daily engage with him, that we can daily dwell with him. And this daily engagement with him is important in imitating him, because you are what you love. You are what you love. And as you engage with God more, you learn to love him more. I want you to think of a small child who loves Superman. Okay, he plays with Superman action figures. He watches Superman movies. He wears his Superman costume everywhere, all the time. And because he spends so much time interacting with Superman, he knows how Superman acts. And he begins to act like Superman, pretending that he can fly or lift heavy things, knowing that he can't actually fly and knowing that he can't actually lift heavy things, but he begins to act a little bit like Superman. His love for Superman affects the way in which he acts towards other people. He's more kind to his classmates. He's more kind to his Sunday school teachers and students. He's more kind to those who are in his youth group. In a similar way, when we spend time with God through the thoughtful reading of his word and through prayer, we begin to act like God. We begin to love God and we begin to act like God, because we see how God acts and loves us, acts towards us and loves us. Our love of God affects how we love our neighbors. Our love of God affects how we love the church. Our love of God affects how we love one another within this church. So let me ask you this. How well do you love your neighbor? How do you interact with strangers? Are you rude? Are you cold-hearted? Or are you warm and welcoming? Do you invite conversation? Do you start conversations? Do you maintain conversations? Let me ask you this. How do you interact with your coworkers? Are you quickly offended? Or are you slow to anger? How do you interact with your friends? How do you interact with your friends when they're kind to you, but also how do you interact with your friends when they're mean-spirited to you? Are you thankful for them on a daily basis? And are you gentle with them when they wrong you and offend you? How do you think of people in your thought life? Do you focus mainly on the things that they have done wrong to you, or do you focus on the things they have done right? Isn't it hard to love another person? Because of our sinful nature, it is hard to love another person. But let me say this, it is easier to love another person when we remember and imitate Christ's love for us. In the Gospel of Mark, before the reading of the 5,000, Mark describes Jesus in a very profound way, in a way that moves me every time I read it. He says this, Jesus had compassion on the crowd, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. We must have, like Christ, we must have a loving compassion and empathy towards everyone we encounter. And it's easy to do this when we remember that we are sinners saved by grace, that we are also sinners saved by grace, that God has loved us despite our sin. It is easy to love another person when you remember that they are suffering. Whether it's because of their own sin or the sin of another person, they are suffering. They're suffering in different ways, they're suffering in different degrees, but they're still suffering. They're still experiencing the same brokenness, the same broken world that you are experiencing. So have compassion as God has had compassion on you. What compassion means, literally what it means, is to suffer with. Now in 2 Timothy 2:24, Paul instructs Timothy and us. He says this, that we're not to be quarrelsome, but be kind to everyone, patiently enduring evil. So be kind to everyone and patiently endure their evil. Be gracious towards everyone because God has dealt graciously with you. Now let me ask you a final question. How well do you love your church? How well do you love the church that you're a member with in? How well do you love this church? Do you gossip behind people's backs? Or do you praise them without them knowing it? Are you involved in their lives? Do you sincerely want to know the people around you and to be known by them? Are you involved in the raising up of your covenant children? Or do you seek to be a mentor in their faith? Remember that you're involved in the lives of your covenant children. The raising of the children of the church is not just the job of the youth pastor or the youth intern who comes and goes. It is the joint job of the congregation. So seek to know your children. Seek to know the youth. Seek to know your students. But also seek to know one another. To be involved in the lives of one another because you are your brother's keeper. In love, encourage one another to grow in the faith. Because you are your brother's keeper. One of the things that brought me to BBC was how much love everyone showed to each other. It was not a perfect love, but it was a deep love. Everyone strove to know one another and to be involved with one another, and there was a warmth between you all. So do not let your love for one another grow cold. For if your love is not guarded, it will grow cold. Instead, fan into flame the love which God has given you. And love one another just as God has loved you. Love this church when she encourages you and nurtures you. But also love her when she fails you, when she neglects you and disappoints you. There may come a time when you feel as though the church has let you down. There may come a time when you are disappointed in the decision that has been made. There may come a time when you have conflict with another one of your brothers. You may even be disappointed at one time in the leadership of this church. In these times, continue to love this church. Remember that the church is our family. We are the children of God, therefore we belong to the household of God. In any family, like any family, you see the best of people and you see the worst of people because you've lived with them for such a long period of time. But you still love them because they are your family. Likewise, in the church, you see the best of people, and you see the worst of people. You can see the best of people, and you can see the worst of people, because you know them and you interact with them for a long period of time. Like any family, in both the good times and the bad times, love the church because Christ loved the church. And he gave himself up for us. Deal graciously with one another because God has dealt graciously with you. Love one another as Christ has loved you, so the world will know that we are his people. Paul instructs us as a church in Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. He says this, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. And Paul also says this in 1 Corinthians 4:16. He says, be imitators of me. Here's Paul. He's a leader of the church, and he's instructing his congregation to imitate him. For the leaders of the church, the elders and the deacons, remember this, that your people will imitate you. If you're cold and uninvolved, they will become cold and uninvolved. But if you are involved in the life of the church, your people will be involved in the life of your church. If you diligently care for your people will diligently care for one another. If you're welcoming to visitors, your people will be welcoming to visitors. Therefore, you're to lead by example. And do not cease to care for the people which God has entrusted you with. Again, you may be very aware of your failure to love God. You may be very aware of your failure to love one another. You may be very aware of your failure to love your neighbor. But I want to remind you not to feel guilty, not to be discouraged, not to be ashamed. Instead, know that, again, the Holy Spirit is working within you. And he's molding you. He's shaping you into the image of Christ each day. He will not stop until he has completed the work which he has started within you. You will not stop until you fully reflect Christ. You may have seen those progressive commercials where there's a couple, two spouses, and one spouse is becoming more and more like the other parent. And the speaker in the commercial will say, progressive can't stop you from becoming your parents, but we can protect you from your home and auto. We can protect your home and auto. Well, the Holy Spirit protects you. He protects you by making you more like your Heavenly Father. He can protect you from failing to imitate God. He allows and causes you to imitate God more and more. Again, nothing can stop the Holy Spirit from shaping you into the image of God. Nothing can stop the Holy Spirit from making you becoming more like Christ. Even now you reflect God. Even now you reflect His character. You represent God, so do your best to imitate him. Do your best to love like him in everything that you do to everyone you encounter. You do reflect God. You do imitate God, but you do so in a misty mirror. Yet the mist is slowly fading away. And one day you will look into that mirror, and you will look into that mirror, and you will see that you look more like your Father. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. Lord, we thank you for the gift of sanctification, that you're making us holy as you are holy. You're teaching us to love as you love, that you're doing this through the Holy Spirit who has sealed us for the day of redemption. Lord, we ask that we remember this, and that we ask that you remind us to walk in love as you love us, that we are to imitate you in everything that we say and do. Lord, let us not forget quickly your teachings that you have taught us through Paul. Let us not forget quickly your gospel, but let us know your gospel. Let us remind yourselves of the gospel so that we apply the gospel to our lives. Lord, thank you for your word. May it go with us now through the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.